Feelings right.
Hello everyone, this is your always technical host, Hendy.
And this is Paul, also known as East Tech's Twitch.
Oh man, I went to this casino today, and while I had a lot of fun, I'm not feeling well right now.
Is this something you ate?
No, it's not my stomach. It's just my head doesn't feel quite right. Like I have voices in my head telling me to be evil and sexy.
Wait, oh no, the casino wasn't Booga's casino, was it?
Oh, my head! Oh!
Fight it, dude.
I'm Booga's now. He's the only one that matters to me. My heart, my soul, my body, they're all his.
This would be more depressing if you hadn't already been in love with Booga. Still, and you're wearing a bunny suit? Hendy Pendleton III, you are a co-host of Slime Time. You will behave like one.
Time for your puff paw.
Oh, that's it. The power of fire and ice combined. Medroa! You forgot, young Pendy. I'm immune to charm, especially from bunny costume wearing Slime Time co-hosts. Yeesh.
Oh, whoa. My head. What happened?
While Pendy recovers from my ultimate attack and changes into some decent clothes, I'll go ahead and welcome our audience to Tactfully Die, a Slime Time podcast spinoff that covers just about everything in the world of Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Die, and the Dragon Quest Tact mobile game.
I don't know. I kind of like this bunny suit. But that's right. We'll talk about the latest and greatest with Dragon Quest Tact first.
Good. I know you'd love to puff some Tact.
Oh, and I will, as we are in the middle of the Jinxed Jade event.
Her evil sexiness knows no bounds in her casino-themed levels. Are you feeling lucky with your banner pulls?
I was. I've been going easy for a while, but I went all out on this banner and got Jade to 4 hearts. I even had a pull where I got 2 copies of her in 1 pull. I was feeling very lucky. How about your pulls?
Well, I did get her from the paid pull, which is always nice, and so I've been doing a little bit of additional pulling. I've done 8 pulls so far and gotten 0 more jades. I've noticed the game usually either lets you get a banner unit like pretty early in the pulls process, or it's like, nope, you're not getting her until number 15. You know, it's like, for me, there's not much in between. So I do want to do additional pulls on her, but I've had to get some dental work last month and more this month. And so it's like, man, just a tough time. But her banner's going to be around for a little while longer, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it should be around for another month or so-ish. I forget exactly when it expires. But yeah, so a lot of dental work, huh? East X Twitch needs braces.
No, well, I do need braces, but no, just fillings.
Oh, okay.
More nice, fillings. Nice. 2 hours of fillings next week. Can't wait.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, lay off the soda, man.
Man.
Oh, but anyways, sorry. Enough of our dental work. Besides Jade being one of my favorite characters in all of Dragon Quest, she is perfect for my Blitz team in the real-time arena. She's fast, has a multi-hit Zam attack, an effective sleep attack, and a charm ability that is extremely effective. She can even charm enemies that do physical or martial attacks against her.
Not bad. Sounds like she has you charmed, all right.
Well, you know, even more charming than that, we can now pull for, Booga?
Despite his disgusting appearance, I know you find that dastardly Booga is quite mesmerizing.
Literally, his dastardly scheme attack will pull an opposing enemy up to 3 spaces closer, mesmerize them for 3 turns, and then they become a selflessness cover unit.
You heard that right. Not only does this ability put an enemy out of commission, they become a free cover unit for the Booga user.
I haven't pulled any copies of him. How about you?
No, I didn't even bother. I'm trying to slowly pull away at another hard on Jinx Jade, so I'd rather save the gems. Oh, and before we go on, I noticed that you're looking a little thin up there, buddy.
Yes. A long time ago, after losing my challenge that we could beat the Arena Weenies and Big Dorky Squad in the co-op boss battle challenge against Parzaro the Manslayer, I went through with it and shaved my head. Finally. I put it to good use even. I cosplayed as Master Roshi. Pictures in the YouTube version, if we ever get around to doing that for once.
What, are we behind again?
Oh, you know, only 7 or 8 episodes behind. Anyway, speaking of the Arena Weenies, for the most dastardly attack guilds, apparently. We are just a farm team for them.
Yeah, not cool. We lost yet another guild member to Arena Watch. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on Arena Watch, those jerks.
I'll admit, I was salty. Like, really salty. To the point I was actually questioning what the heck I was doing and why do I even bother with this? You know, I joined Aces 1 to be more competitive, not help people on their way up to other guilds. I legit thought about quitting and just going back to the DQ Den guild or maybe just going down to Aces 2. Ironically, right after our former friend was called up to the majors, I faced him in RTA. Of course, he was sitting way back with cover. And I thought to myself, well, that figures.
That's the lamest and least enjoyable RTA strategy.
But you know what? You know what? Screw it. For the short time he was here, he was extremely helpful. He definitely improved how we thought about guild versus guild battles and our setups. I myself started out in the DQ Den because that is where I hung out. And I myself started out in the DQ Den because that is where I hung out in Discord. I had played Dragon Quest of the Stars with some of those fine folks previously. But as the Den team started tech, I realized they were mostly a free-to-play guild, and that wasn't going to be very competitive. I wanted something more, so I did what Veagle did. I went to a more competitive guild. So Veagle, good luck to you at Arena Watch. I still hope you choke on it, but I'll eventually get over myself.
I do not wish him luck. May his pepperoni and salami get moldy well before the sell-by dates. You shouldn't compare yourself to that guy. You're not a turncoat. You always needed to join the official guild of our Facebook group and podcast. This guild is your home, and unlike some chumps, you're not too good for your home.
Thankfully, our time as missing a member in our guild did not last very long, unlike last time.
That's right. We picked somebody else up almost immediately.
He's got a decent box, too. That really helped smooth things over for me, and I know we'll be okay now.
I sure hope so, Uncle Fester. Let's just hope the new fellow will be good about communicating with us.
Right? No going to run errands and disappearing forever.
We actually have a couple other items to be salty about today, don't we?
I hate to say it, but we are indeed grumpy about multiple things at the moment.
Totally called for, though, especially when it comes to our favorite mobile game's grammar. The editing and tact seems to be non-existent lately.
Totally agree. There's been errors here or there in the past, but it has just gotten absolutely horrible as of late.
Normally, we understand an occasional mistake. We realize there's a very quick turnaround for localizing these events, and mistakes are bound to happen.
But now it's just sloppy. Before we get into the bad ones, probably one of the more amusing errors was a recent banner with the blossomed Angelo in the banner description explaining his skills.
Someone obviously did a rushed copy-paste job, as one of the notes mentions Seraphy instead of the actual unit in the banner, Angelo.
Oh, and then there's all the grammar mistakes.
You could tell they put the script through spell check, but that there's no editing on anything else.
And here's some lines we found as recent examples.
Why do you get be the hero?
He's right, now I think of it.
We're surrounded by security personnel.
I'm going to nice to all I meet today.
But please, what you do, don't get food all over the machines.
I've got plenty more when these critters came from.
Red Krim was desperate for regain his power.
I will personally to it that your wicked ways are forever ended. So you get the idea of what we are talking about. As an English teacher, I bet this drives you mad, huh, Eastex?
Yes, grammatical errors in games are just as annoying to me as Mindini is sexy to you, my friend.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that they can't even get the names for some of the equipment right. Jinx Jade's Bunny Ears is a piece of equipment you can get through the challenge, Penny Pincher level of the event.
The Penny Pincher level costs slot tickets that are randomly dropped from other levels during the event. The level itself awards players with random slot panels like cherry, plum, wild panels, etc. In the special slot panel shop, you can exchange specific slot panels for different items, like the bunny ears.
But the bunny ears aren't even named correctly. They misnamed them cat ears.
Meowsers, that's very imperfect, and it rubs me the wrong way.
All this is admittedly slightly annoying at most.
The real error is that a recent special banner claimed that no general units would be in the banner's pool. Everyone received one free ticket for the banner. You could also buy up to four additional tickets that came with other items.
Unfortunately, the claim of no general units in the pool was incorrect. There were definitely general units in the banner. You would only know if you pulled and got them or went to the draw rate screen and checked what was there.
This is where things get more serious. People were spending actual money for these tickets and potentially getting crap units as a result.
Soon thereafter, we got a notice that the developers were considering a gift to apologize.
Yeah, considering making up for their mistake wasn't a great look.
Yeah, that honestly pissed me off. I bought two of those tickets, two of those sets that had the tickets, so I had three in all, counting the free ticket. I did have a pull that had a crappy general pull S unit in there, and that was it. The rest were, banner units, so I was pretty lucky, but many others were not. The tech developers, thankfully, Monopoly have decided upon what I consider to be fair compensation. They will double the number of tickets you have and or have used. They are going to let the banner expire at its original date of October 31st and then give us all compensatory tickets for what I assume will be a fixed banner with no general pool. At least that's the impression I get from that notice, which is also poorly worded. Even if it's just more pulls on this banner, I'm still good with that. It's honestly a lot more compensation than I thought they would give us based off of past history. So what do you think of all this?
Well, I think this might be the first time they've made this particular kind of mistake. At least it's been a long time if they've done this for.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought 3 of the packages out of 4. Like if you buy one $80 gems package, that's enough to get 3 of the things. It's not enough to get all 4. So I just bought 1. I got 3 best ones. And my results, they were all pretty okay. You know, I didn't get anything particularly amazing, but I also didn't get any general units. So that was fine for me. Yeah. And I'm glad they're making up for it. You know, now we get the fun of doing extra pulls, and there's a chance that the general guys will be left out, which will be even nicer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now then, before we get into the die portion of the show, it's time for our tact tip of the day. This one is specifically for the team that localizes tact into English.
Tip of the day!
Did you know that a solid editor could come in behind what is written in the story stages, event stages, hero stages, swap shops, especially the in-game notices, and catch most, if not all, of the recent errors?
That's right, localization tacticians. A good editor is worth their weight in gold for a solid localization.
They can make your game look much more polished, save you a lot of pain, and then everyone will be happy. Also, I'm an experienced copy editor, and I'm affordable.
You heard him. That's amazing. And that was our tact tip of the day. Tip of the day! Now let's get into some Dai.
Every week, we're going to review 2 episodes from the newest Dragon Quest The Adventure of Dai anime.
We'll also get into other Dai-related news, such as the games, merchandise, and whatever else we find in the world of Dai.
Let's start by talking about episode 47, To the Final Battleground. This episode starts out with our gang of heroes gathering at Papnica. They take the hot air balloon ship to the Carl Kingdom to meet the others at the secret base of operations. While en route, Chu, the mouse guy, sneaks away. He has attained the Beast King Flute from Crocodine. This magical flute summons monsters, and if you defeat them, they'll become your followers. Some of the other warriors already in the area are stationed at a small port where a ship is being built. They plan to use this ship to carry everyone to the final battle, or so they think. Hadlar's Royal Guard shows up at the shipyard in full force. A human mage is barely able to escape and warn the others who are gathered back at the base. The heroes then make a plan to go rescue their comrades, but they're interrupted by a man named Nova, who calls himself the Hero of the North. He claims that he can handle the situation all by himself.
So, what an arrogant prick this Nova guy is, right? I'm sure we'll see really quickly next episode if he is all talk or not. I really liked seeing the monster whistle. That ability and being able to potentially recruit monsters like that first appeared in Dragon Quest V. Sancho is a character that learns the whistle ability. Original run of the manga went through 1996, and 5 came out in 92. I'm guessing these abilities were inspired by the games. It's always great when they weave in these Dragon Quest references to the Dai story from the games. And I thought it was hilarious that Mam realized Chu had disappeared, and they all basically decided it wasn't important and just kept moving on. Good luck, Chu. Hope you don't die. That seems to be their attitude. Poor little rat. I also liked Chu's interaction with Gomei-chan. It gave him someone to play off of instead of just talking to himself like a crazy rat.
Yes, Nova, or Hyunkle 2 as I call him, is a super pompous douchebag. It's funny that he claims to be a hero, but acts like such a beanbag. In the next episode, we'll see that Nova's dad is totally embarrassed about his behavior. I would argue that Nova didn't become that big of a jerk without some lax parenting at home.
Mm-hmm.
He probably played on his cell phone during class all the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this Nova is not nearly as sexy as the one from the original Planet of the Apes movie. Chu's storyline, as you mentioned, is indeed amusing. You know, he's always good for comic relief, and I have to wonder if the heroes were more concerned about their mouse friend's disappearance in the manga. Yeah, they leave out little things like that from the newer anime. This episode also has a nice emotional moment with the disciples of Avon bringing Avon's book along on their journey. It seems to represent Avon being there with them as they return to Carl Kingdom, his homeland. Another interesting little moment is that we see more signs of Amy's crush on Hyunkle. Amy, one of the sages for Papnica Kingdom?
Yes, the Troika, I think.
Yeah, the Troika.
Troika.
Yeah, Troika. It's Troika, right?
Triforce. Triverse. I don't know.
The Triforce. And the Master Sword.
Yes.
But yeah, she's one of those ladies. And there was a sign in the last couple episodes that she might have liked him. And then they just basically confirm it here. And Pop makes some little jokes about it. And then Merla gets jealous that Pop doesn't notice her. So good little moments like that. I always like when they weave in the character moments.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And how about the fight between Baron and Kilvern? I love that Baron takes Kilvern out so easily. But the moment is undercut by Kilvern's annoying helper guy immediately resurrecting him. At least let the audience think he's really dead for a while, you know? I mean, they take all the emotional punch out of it.
Yeah, they do. They do. And you know what we failed to mention is that right before that fight, Kilvern basically does the famous villain trope where he's like, I'm going to explain to you our evil plan. He tells Baron, like, hey, King Vern, hey, Vern, just doesn't want to, like, wipe out humanity. He wants to wipe out the entire surface world so that the underworld can rise, and that would be the only world left. That's a lot more ambitious than we probably originally thought of what King Vern is trying to do.
Yeah, and it totally serves to motivate Baron. So if Baron doesn't die, then he's going to be much more aggressive towards King Vern. So big mistake on Kilvern's part.
Yeah, because the Dragon Knights are all about, like, hey, we're going to wipe out somebody or cut somebody down to size if, like, one of the three races gets a little too powerful or too ahead of themselves or they're trying to do crazy stuff. And at first he was like, oh, we're just wiping out humanity. Yeah, screw it. I'm good with that. I mean, that's a little more than I normally would do as a Dragon Knight, but that's fine. There'll still be everything else is left. But he's like, wait a minute, you're just going to wipe out the entire surface world? Like everything? Yeah, no, I'm not down for that, dude. Sorry.
Exactly. That kite doesn't fly.
No. Well, next is episode 48, the Hadlar Royal Guard. This episode begins showing that Chu has won his fight and was able to convince a pterodactyl to his side. And his name is Terry. Back at the base, Nova arrogantly zooms off to face the new threat of Hadlar's Royal Guard by himself. Die and Pop Levizoom after him. Despite Nova's special aura techniques, Heem, the pawn, easily takes him down. Hadlar's guard then each introduces themselves by name, and Block the Brook tosses the ship the humans were going to use for the invasion at everybody. After the good guys evade the attack, Pop decides to use the cover of the ship exploding to use his new Bedroa skill and take them out. Before he can do that, however, Nova casts Kakrakle in an attempt to ensure that the foes are hit by Pop's ultimate attack, trying to freeze them. However, Sigma the Knight has a shield with bounce that reflects the spell back. Him is about to kill a mostly frozen Nova when Hyunkel appears and spears Heem through the head in the face.
He had it coming. This episode does a great job of making Hadlar's Royal Guard seem imposing. Although some of the designs, like the bishop, are slightly goofy, the team as a whole is super powerful compared to most of the previous threats the Dying Company have faced. If the chess pieces have to absolutely wipe the floor with somebody, it might as well be Nova. I love how the queen jumps in and puts a stop to Nova's crap rather than allowing him to keep toying with him. A show like this could either kill Nova to make an example of him, as you'd sometimes see in Dragon Ball Z, or it can make someone jump in and save him. Hyunkel's rescue is delightfully badass and an exciting way to end the episode. In the end, it seems that the writer wanted a lighter tone than we would get from seeing Nova bits shatter all over the place.
I mean, we still got a spear through the head, so so there's that.
But it's a bad guy.
That's true. That's true. And he's not human, so there's that too. Yeah. You can blow up all the robots and things that are monsters and made out of metal or whatever. Nobody cares. At least the sensors don't usually.
Indeed.
Did you watch G.I. Joe growing up?
I've seen a bit of it, of course.
And so, like, they introduced at one point, you know, they fired lasers at each other all the time, but they didn't actually see each other shooting each other. Like, maybe the vehicles, then they jump out or whatever. But they introduced robots later on in the series. And robots, you can shoot the crap out of those. So that was like their little invention so they could actually have some more, you know, direct action.
Yeah, it's the same thing with foot soldiers in the original Ninja Turtles cartoon.
It's a robot, so just we can slice it up. It's okay, Mr. Sensor Guy or Gal. But yeah, this was a fun episode. You know, more Nova being an arrogant jerk and getting his comeuppance. Pop at first even considers ditching Nova, but Dai is a good hero and convinces Pop that going after Nova is the right thing to do. When they were in the base, I noticed all the barrels and the treasure chest, and I immediately yelled to myself, even though I'd seen this before, I was like, oh, open the treasure chest, destroy the barrels, like any good Dragon Quest hero would do. They did open one treasure chest, but it contained a new costume for Pop that, in my opinion, is by far the ugliest thing he wears in the series. My my goodness, it is horrid. It's this green, orange, yellow monstrosity with a goofy red cape. It does him no favors. Now, there was something else I did like about this episode is that there was good voice acting in the dub between Nova and Heem. It really made their confrontation that much more enjoyable. And as always, I love seeing Dragon Quest spells like Bounce and weapons that use them, just like in the games. And Chu has a monster now. Will he get more? I look forward to the showdown in the next episode.
Right on. You know, Pop's armor definitely doesn't look good, but I don't hate it quite as much as you do.
Ah.
It bulks him up, which is kind of cool. Still, the colors and overly decorated look keep it from being a design that will win many fans. It's interesting that despite being a really engaging show, lots of cool characters, Adventure of Dai sometimes has these ugly costumes and enemies. I guess Koji Inada, the artist of the manga, had his off days.
Or it was just because it was back in the 80s and the 90s.
Well,
it was,
maybe.
It was a little bit ago, just a little bit. Styles were slightly different in how people drew stuff back then.
That's sure. True. Eventually, we're going to get a picture of you cosplaying as that Pop costume from when you were
a
kid.
Oh my God, no. I would die of shame. I'd have to Madroa myself.
Oh no.
Before we end today, not much in other Dai news as we have been covering Infinity Strash in our Slime Time Prime episodes, getting all hot and heavy with those.
Yes, and by the way, I'm still playing that game and having a lot of fun with it.
Me too.
And that was a pretty nice contest they had.
That's true. Crunchyroll was giving away a copy of Infinity Strash and 30 days of Crunchyroll Premium.
Very nice. We're glad to see them support the game since the subtitled Dai anime can be streamed on Crunchyroll. There are also some nice cosplay pics taken at the most recent Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, yeah. On our previous episode, we talked about some cosplayers presented during the Infinity Strash live stream event that was at TGS. But someone else also did a fantastic cosplay of Martial Arts Man over there. It was amazing.
Yeah, so check out the Slime Time page on Twitter, or X as Pendy likes to call it, to see that stunning costume. And that's all for this episode of Slime Time Tactfully Dai. If you want to prepare for the next episode, be sure to watch episodes 49 and 50 of The Adventure of Dai, subtitled on Crunchyroll or dubbed on Hulu, the library app Hoopla, Vudu, or the Microsoft Store. Let's also hope that more dubbed episodes go on sale soon. You can only buy the first 50 dubbed episodes, and I'm about to have to switch to watching the rest of the show with subtitles. That means better voice acting and intro and outro songs than the dub, but I still like a good dub, dang it.
I'll have to switch to Hulu, because I was using the free library app, and they're stuck at 52. So Hulu it is, which I already have of like a Disney Plus package, so it works out. Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, Hulu is a good service. I just don't have it right now, but I do have Crunchyroll, so I'll watch it on Crunchyroll, I guess.
No, I don't blame you. We are a non-profit podcast. We won't strash your hard-earned gold when we can offer you quality content for free. But if you do have some extra gold that's completely burning a hole in your wallet, pouch, bottomless bag, treasure chest with an horribly ugly Pop uniform in it, or searchable wall sack, and you'd like to donate anything to a website that's been supporting Dragon Quest fans for over 25 years, stop by the Dragon's Den by clicking the link in the show notes. There are several ways to support the Den, including the affiliate links that don't cost you anything extra when making other Dragon Quest purchases, or really anything else.
That's true. We even have a Slime Time t-shirt you can buy that was created by our resident artist, Dwayne. See the link for it in the show notes.
As part of the Slime Time Extended Universe, or STU, you can direct comments or questions for the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at DQSlimeTime.
And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/EastXTwitch. Come watch me play a variety of games every Saturday, kids.
Join in tons of Dragon Quest discussion at the Dragon's Den forums or Discord and the Dragon Questers Infinity Strash and Dragon Quest Tact Global Facebook groups.
We'd like to thank everyone that made this podcast possible, including you, Pendy, Woodus, the Dragon's Den, and bunny costumes, except when Pendy wears one.
Ooh la la. Please like, subscribe, and write a review for the podcast.
We'll catch you later, everybody. Don't hate, appreciate.
Time to zoom on out of here. So I made a promise to remember.
This is Gutrude for Slime Time, reminding you all that you must complete your adventure.